This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This is a real treat. It really, really is. For the last 2 years, of course, we've had all sorts of lockdown restrictions that have meant that we haven't had hardly anybody in the room, but to see all your faces is just amazing. And thank you to those who are joining us online as well. Thank you for those who are being down in the hall, getting live streamed down there. That is really special that you are here. Well, this morning, we actually want to wrap up the Term 4 series that we've been doing AM and PM called The Next Dance. And for those of you who may be new this morning and are going, what the heck is going on? The Next Dance is a series that we've prepared that looks at the last words of a whole lot of people within the Scriptures. And this morning, Carolyn and I were keen to unpack this final story with you because it's a story that crosses right across the generations. We were so keen to have all the generations here today. We count it so special. All the kids are in with us today. I know that Carolyn's already been getting some letters and cards up front from various kids, and that's been wonderful. But this story is one of our all-time favorites, one of the all-time favorite books of the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. And oftentimes we think of Nehemiah as a story of the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. But when you get to Nehemiah chapter 8, God actually starts the rebuilding of the heart of his people.
Yes, so when we pick up this story, all of the people are gathering together, much like today, and there would have been, I imagine, a bit of buzz of excitement and curiosity because they're thinking, what's this all about? And imagine a fair bit of noise. I was going to say, much like today, but you're all really quiet so far.
It's the masks. They're actually talking, but they're muted.
Oh, okay. And so we have got the Bible reading, so we're going to read it together.
We've got it together. So we've got it up on the screen. There it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to read it together.
We are. We thought it would be great to participate in that something all together. So I'm going to kick us off. Are you ready? Join me. Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. From early morning until noon, he read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people responded, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. What a great, great reading. Now, I've got to give you a bit of a heads up. Craig's original plan was to reenact that scene.
That's right.
Yes, and so he thought, hey, let's read the Bible for 6 hours together. I mean, that's what
it would have been
Ezra
a great
did.
Idea. A great idea. The kids would have loved it for about the first 30 seconds. After that, all bets might have been off.
So you'll be very thankful to know I've quashed that idea. That's not happening. And so we're going to very briefly highlight some things and celebrate some things from this passage, but not just from this passage, but from NVBC. We see these things in and through you, and we want to celebrate that this morning.
Now, for each of these points that we're going to make, there's an action. We thought the kids are in with us this morning. We've got to have some actions, some participation as well. So here's the first thing that we celebrate in the text, but we celebrate about us as a church family here at Narara. We are desperate for God, and so we love to worship. So you're going to repeat after me. We're desperate for God, so we love to worship. And when you say worship, hands go up like that. You ready? We are desperate for God, and so we love to worship. There you go. Hands going up all over the place.
I feel like we need to do it again.
Okay, you need to do it again?
Are you doing it down in the hall?
Down the back. We can see you out there in the foyer. That's right.
we can see you.
Skinner waving. We are desperate for God, so we love to worship. There we go. In verse 6, there is this building wave of worship, and it starts with Ezra as he's reading. And it seems there that Ezra gets completely captivated and overwhelmed by who God is. And he just starts to spontaneously worship. But it's contagious. Excuse me. It's contagious. And the people start to pick up on this. And this wave of worship continues into the people. And on one occasion there, they're shouting, "Amen, amen, this is true, this is right." And then the very next moment, they're there with their faces to the ground in worship before God. And one of the things that we love about our vision of being a church that is desperate for God is that that desperation for God normally propels us into worship. Now, true confessions times. Some weeks as a pastor, it's not all rainbows, unicorn, and chocolate cake. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And there have been weeks that I've come along to church and we've been sitting up the front there, and my heart has been heavy. Maybe you've had weeks like that as well. My heart's been heavy. But then, and it might be, you know, any one of the worship leaders you saw up the front or a number of other worship leaders, they'll start to lead us in worship. And what I have found consistently over the last 19 years is that there is a thawing of my heart that happens at that point. And worship again begins to be contagious. And I've got to tell you, I've literally lost count. And it happened again this morning. I've literally lost count of the number of times when I sat there or stood there at the front in gathered worship with you guys. And I've had tears pouring down my face. And it's tears of worship before our great God, because our God is good. Our God is great. And in worship, we're reminded of that. And you know, sometimes churches get caught up in those issues of tempo and style and volume, but I love it here at Narara, how our desperation for God erupts in worship of who He is. And to be honest, I really want to say thank you to Josh and Karen and to the whole worship team. You guys continue to bless us as a church, and I want to say very personally, you have blessed me and Carolyn as well so much. And I've got to find out who selected the songs for this morning. Was that you? I thought it was. Okay. I was gone after song one. And it wasn't simply, "Oh, it's our farewell service." I was gone as I reflect on how great Jesus is. And I'm pretty sure Josh picked those songs to see if he could get me crying in the first song. So mission accomplished, mate. Thank you.
Yes, I can definitely attest to that. And I so appreciate that we have that heart of worship here. And one of my fondest memories is when we had our kids' church band, and Josh and Matt, I imagine, is here somewhere, Matt Kelly, were a part of that and led our children in worship and went on to lead youth in worship and to lead congregations in worship. Yeah. And I love it so much that we have that culture here of not only modelling, but empowering and releasing our young people to lead us in worship as well. I love it that we've got Kai playing on guitar, and we've got Courtney singing, and we've got Spencer playing. It's just a huge gift and a huge just blessing to have been a part of that.
Yeah.
So thank you. So just to remind you again, the first thing we celebrate is we're desperate for God. You ready? So we love to worship. Excellent. Now, the second thing we want to celebrate is we're passionate for people, and this action is so all generations matter. And we want you to put your arms around the people next to you.
In a COVID safe manner.
I'm sure they're probably family. Yeah. So, multiple times in this passage, it makes the point that men, women, and children gathered together. Mm. And certainly we recognize that there are times when demographic groups are really beneficial. And we love that about Narara. We've got kids ministry, we've got youth ministry, we've got women and men's ministry, we've got seniors ministry. We love that. But we here at Narara also celebrate, like Nehemiah 8, the generations gathering together. Now, I remember it wasn't always like that when I stepped into this role. And I really felt a burden on my heart, and a lot of research was coming out to say that what helps kids have a sticky faith, or a faith that sticks, that helps them grow from kids' church into the wider church community, is that immersion and experience of all of the generations, they feel like they're a part of this place. And we love it that Narara has embraced that. For some, it was like, ooh, what is this going to be like? How's this going to work? But we love it that that they said, hey, we're not sure, but if this means our kids are going to have a faith, then let's give it a go. And we gave it a go. And we love it that it's part of who we are here.
And we've done all sorts of intergen sort of services here as well. Many of you remember our Passover services. They've been a whole lot of fun. And our Thank You Sundays are still probably my favourite service of the year. And I have noticed streamers around. I'm a little bit nervous for that.
I'm excited because I wanted to have streamers. And then Lewis said, no, you can't have them because
we've already bagged them. That's right. And so Thank You Sunday has always been great. The kids are in. We celebrate what Jesus is doing together. We say thank you to him. We say thank you to one another. I still remember the very first one when we were at Seventh-day Adventist Church, and people started hoiking up these streamers into the fans that were going, and half the church are going, this is awesome, and the other half are going, stop it, you'll break the fans. So there's all sorts of those really fun...
There was the conga line.
We had a conga line one year of all these kids with all the leftover streamers, and they're kind of doing this with all hands full of streamers. It was great.
Just that joyous abandonment, I think, the kids bring is beautiful.
All right, so the first thing is, we're desperate for God, so we
love
to worship.
The
second thing is, we're passionate for people, so all generations matter.
Yes.
All right. And the third one. The third thing is, we're a people of the Bible, so obedience brings change. So we're a people of the Bible, so obedience brings change.
Yeah, so a little later in that Nehemiah 8 passage, as Ezra's reading, the people come across this command where they're instructed in a particular month of the year to build these, what they called them booths, but they were like shelters that they made. And the reason that they had been instructed to do this was a reminder for God's people when they did the Exodus out of Egypt and they were free from slavery, but they wandered in the wilderness for a while and they built these shelters and they were meant to remember God's rescue plan for them and God's sustainment. And they'd stopped doing that, and they're reading this and they're going, hang on a minute, they've checked their sundials and they're like, oh, it's that month, we should be doing this, we've been told in God's word we need to obey. And so everybody gathered together and they, oh, I think that would have been awesome. Can you imagine kids running around gathering palm leaves and olive branches and everybody joining in? Maybe some of the older people giving instructions on how to build them. But the gathered people of God recognizing that his word is not to take our fun away. It's not to take our joy. But his word is to be obeyed because God has what's best for us. He knows what will help us live life to the full. And that's what obedience to God's word, that's what he calls us to do. And that obedience to God's word sometimes means change, doesn't it? It means we do what God's called us to do. And sometimes it can be hard. But I want to, at this moment, really celebrate and thank again publicly our Kids Church team who have faithfully brought God's word alive to our kids and to our families and helped them not only hear that word, but obey it and put it into practice. And I want to just thank you guys so much. It's been such an honour and such a privilege to serve with you in doing that.
So we're a people of the Bible. So obedience brings change, which kind of leads us to this morning. As best we can, we're trying to be obedient to where we sense God leading us. And people keep asking us, and it normally brings me to tears, they say to us, oh, how are you feeling at the moment? And to be honest, it's a real mix. It's a real mix. We're excited in faith for this next chapter. God is good, and we know that his plans for us are good. And so we are excited. We're looking forward to that. And at the same time, we love you guys so much. We love you guys so much. And so departing, being sent out, is really hard. But again, we know that God is good and his plans for NVBC are good. And so we are genuinely looking forward to seeing what God does in and through this church as you head into the future. And so we want to say a really big thank you to you for giving us the privilege of doing this journey with you over the last 19 years. You've allowed us to partner with you for the sake of the gospel, and we count that a great honor and a great privilege. And we also want to thank, sorry, I thought I'd get through. We've got the world's biggest supply of tissues down here, honestly. We also want to say thank you to our kids. Our kids have stood by us the whole way, and our kids sometimes have paid a price for having, you know, for being PKs, for having parents who are pastors. And you have supported, you have been gracious, you have loved mum and dad, even when sometimes we've been a bit kind of grumpy or whatever it might have been, because life's been tough sometimes. It's also been a great joy. And you've supported us in very practical ways as well. And I really want to honour that. Each of our kids has stepped up into ministry in various different ways, and we can't count that a great joy. And 2/3, because we've got the world's best daughter-in-law as well, have been part of the team that's over at Greenhouse now. We celebrate what God's doing at Greenhouse as well. So thank you so much, kids, for your ongoing support there. Yeah. And I want to say, just finally, thank you, Narara, for the way in which you've cared for us as a family, particularly our kids. Some pastors have a horrible experience where their kids are either, they're pastor's kids, so they're going to be rat bags, or alternately, they're pastor's kids, so they have to be held to some incredibly higher standard. But you've just treated them like normal kids, which is what they are, although they're adults now. So thank you for the way in which you've done that. So one last talk.
And can I add to that too? I just want to thank all the kids here of NVBC. Yeah. I think of them as my spiritual kids.
Yeah.
And I just, I've loved so much serving you all. And I just pray huge blessings over you and your families.
Yes. Amen. Oh, thanks, Georgia. All right. So one last time. We're desperate for God. Yes. And so we love to worship.
Yes.
We're passionate for people. So all generations matter. And we're a people of the Bible, so obedience brings change. Thanks, guys. Bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lewis.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.